Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message I've entitled The Secret of Abiding Joy. And I would trust that this is something we need always, but especially in the times in which we are living. Not just joy, but abiding joy, a joy that will not depart from us. And the only way we're going to have that kind of joy is to have spiritual understanding and spiritual perspective that God is in control and that everything is going to work out all right. I know that sounds like a total simplification, but in the end, that's true. Have you read the end of the book? There is victory for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His people. Well, Jesus has already had victory, but it'll be evident before the nations of the world. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a glorious day. Oh my goodness, I don't know about you, I can hardly wait for that. You know, when you think about it, the Lord's gone through so much. You know, we know and we recognize and meditate upon what Jesus sacrificed for us. But, you know, it was not only Jesus. Did you ever think about the Godhead, how the Father must have grieved when he saw Jesus on the cross? And, you know, I had a very difficult time in my personal life. I remember thinking about this very thought. And it has been, you know, preached that, you know, the eyes of the Lord are too pure. He cannot look on evil. And so he just turned away because Jesus became sin for us. Well, certainly that is true. But I believe his heart was broken when he saw the suffering and anguish of Jesus and his, what was so heartbreaking that he did it so willingly, so filled with love to obey the will of his Father, as well as his love for us. The joy is set before him, knowing the God's eternal plan, that as he was with his Father in the beginning, and they had this plan all worked out. It was just hard in the natural for Jesus, in his humanity, go through it. I mean, goodness, to go through the shame and the horrendous and horrific suffering and torture of the cross and his scourging. That's why he said, Lord, do you have some other plan? We can arrange. He suffered and agonized in Gethsemane. But how the Holy Spirit, how the angels must have almost stood on their tiptoes looking down on earth in disbelief, really, what was happening, that Jesus, the jewel of heaven, the glory of heaven, the very glorified, majestic Son of God, one with the Father, would allow himself to be so mistreated and take upon himself the form of a servant. So at any rate, so I was comforted when I saw that when the Lord turned away his head, it could have been that his heart was breaking as well. Anyway, that's just a little personal thing I share with you because it brought me great comfort. Anyway, let's go back to Habakkuk. Anyway, well, if you're just joining me, basically the prophet was really upset. He could not understand how God could allow all violence, all the injustice, all the cruelty, all the wickedness to prosper, and that he wasn't judging the wicked. And then God told him, because he lived at the time of Jeremiah, he saw the corruption of Judah, and they were quite self-satisfied. You know, their own prophets were prophesying God's blessing and prosperity. That's why Jeremiah was so unpopular. However, God said, I am going to judge Judah, and that judgment is going to be by a nation that's even more wicked than they are, the Chaldeans. And So Habakkuk was having a real problem in these few brief chapters, and he had this conversation with the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him that in the end, the Chaldeans themselves, the wicked, will be punished, and that God's people will inherit the earth. That's true. Just as it's true for us today. That message is just as clear and distinct as when it was first spoken. But in that second chapter, he goes on, verse 15, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth the bottle to him, maketh him drunk also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness." Oh, there was all kinds of wickedness and immorality. "Thou art filled with shame for glory, for the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, the spoil of beasts which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city and all that dwell therein." Then he goes on to talk about the molten images and the idolatry that is so prevalent. And in verse 20, he says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." He had come to a place of resolution, of peace, with renewed and resolved faith that he knows that God is a holy God, and that his own questions were really unjustified, in the sense that while in the natural it's very human to want to ask that, there should be a total confidence that God is a holy God, and he hates sin, and he will punish sin in his own way and in his own time. So Habakkuk learns a very important lesson, as each one of us should do, that God is on his throne, and that he is just and holy. And just like the prophet, we can come into a place of faith knowing that God's going to, he's got it all. He's going to punish the wicked. It's just his mercy, his grace, that is extending the time, hopefully, that this rebellious and stubborn will repent. So we need to come into a place where there's no more questionings, no more reasonings. And Habakkuk, in complete submission, opens his lips in adoration and praise. Now let's begin reading, and I'm going to go to the third chapter. In verse 1, it says a prayer of Habakkuk, and we're going to read verses 2 and 3. "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid." Who wouldn't? When the Lord was describing what would happen. "O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah." Think about that. "His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise." In verse 14 of the preceding chapter, Habakkuk says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Praise God. Hallelujah. So he is praising God. "O Lord, I have heard thy speech." The prophet had come to realize that it was necessary for Judah to be punished and to go into captivity. Whom God loves, we know from the New Testament, that passage, he chastens. He chastens us in our personal lives when we start going astray, and we're not to despise the chastening of the Lord. Remember, James has quite a bit to say about that. But as a nation, surely there were godly people. I mean, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, not to mention there were those who loved the Lord and were not partaking of the sins of Judah. God always has faithful people. And can you imagine what they were going through? That's why it was necessary to hear the word of the Lord through the prophets, to know that just don't be faint-hearted. God will punish iniquity. And he came to realize that it was God's justice that had to punish Judah. The word of the Lord was going to be fulfilled through Jeremiah. They would go into captivity, be there for 70 years. And he learned, the prophet did, that he could not pray for deliverance from it. But what did he pray? He prayed that God would give them grace sufficient in it. And beloved, that's what we need to do in the perilous times in which we're living. We may not I mean, our brothers and sisters around the world are going through intense and terrible persecution. It's even begun in this country through all sorts of excuses, you know, the COVID thing. Churches are being closed, with all good rationale. No, not when other places are being opened, like taverns and things like that. So, beloved, we need that same kind of grace. If God would not withdraw the punishment such as we're experiencing, my goodness, this nation has experienced the judgments of God, which are not just his wrath, they're his love, trying to get people's attention to turn to him. And if God wouldn't withdraw the punishment, then the prophet's prayer was that the Lord would not withdraw himself. And that should be our prayer. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. Let there be revival, Lord. Let the power of God come, the anointing of God. Anoint your people. Help us to preach the uncompromised word of God with signs and wonders following. What does that mean, revive thy work? It means literally to preserve or to make alive thy work. In other words, God's declared program of judgment on Judah and then on Babylon. In the midst of those years of captivity, Lord, melt their hearts. That's what we need to pray now in the times in which we are living. Well, my time has just flown again, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you can be with us. If at any time you miss, just go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and you can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. But as always, I invite you to write. If the Holy Spirit is moving on you and you have prayer needs, he's got a reason for doing that. Whatever, I will pray for you personally. Whatever God gives would be a blessing and encouragement to your heart. Or you may not have any specific prayer requests, or you may have unspoken prayer requests. But if you don't, you know, I can always use encouragement. Let me know you're listening. That would be a blessing. I do love you. I hope you can feel the love in my heart for you and my faithful prayers every day for my partners, as well as for you, the listening audience who haven't written. Whatever I pray for myself, I pray for you guys, and I pray for the body of Christ in the earth, that we may come into that maturity and love of God that he so desires. Well, beloved, I must go, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.